Please turn with me tonight to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and I read verse 19. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and verse 19. And he, the Lord Jesus, said unto him, the Samaritan leper, who was healed and saved, and he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. What a great statement. My subject tonight is faith like a Samaritan. Faith like a Samaritan. Of course, here it is not about the good Samaritan. People often speak about a philanthrop or a philanthropist. No, no amount of good works of charity can save any man. No works can make a person to please the living God. So we are all, in a way, like a Samaritan. So faith like a Samaritan. I want to give you just few words of introduction as we come to this great statement and declaration given by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and with a purpose. My dear friends, we have to understand that. Christ never moved. In his 3 years of ministry, he never go in a place without a purpose. He was not just parading here and there. It was purposefully. And now he is going to that city, the holy city of Jerusalem. You know why? He said it many times, at least 5 times he said it to his disciples, that he is going to the city of Jerusalem, and there he will be arrested, but he will also be crucified, nailed on a cross, nailed on a cursed tree, nailed there for the sins of every repenting sinner, nailed there for the redeemed, those for whom Christ came from heaven to earth and to suffer for them. So purposefully, Christ went to the city of Jerusalem, as if it was he must go through Samaria again, as if it was he must go through Galilee again, and with the purpose, and as you can see from our text here in our reading, for one soul. You see, we never appreciate the importance and the preciousness of one soul, but for the Lord Jesus Christ, he was able even to make that detour in order to save one soul. So in our text, we are told that there are 10 lepers. 9 of them, we may say, are Jews, but one of them is a Samaritan. My dear friends, it is important to understand that this soul Samaritan, who is really picturing an image of each one of us before the Lord, is illustrating for us how to find the Lord. Do you want to find the Lord? Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want your sins to be forgiven? Do you want to go to heaven? Heaven is a place. Heaven is a pure place. Heaven is the abode of the living God. But how can we relate to the living God, who is holy, who is thrice holy, who is supreme, high, holy, and lifted up? How can we relate with him without receiving the forgiveness of our sins? So that's really the questions we must ask. And this soul Samaritan illustrates for us how the Lord Jesus Christ can be found. My dear friends, leprosy. Leprosy, oh, that is a torment. It is horrible. It is a tragedy. It is a disaster. It is infectious. It is dreadful. Well, even to hear about leprosy, but especially in the Bible and in New Testament times, leprosy was a type of sin. But leprosy was also a picture of man's greatest need. Do you want to think about your need before God? Oh, think about it. Leprosy, it is the picture. It is the image. It is the illustration. Sin like leprosy is thicker than the skin. So we need to reflect on those things. Ponder, how can I be saved? How can I fellowship with my Creator? How do we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior? Because as you know, there are so many gurus, so many religion leaders or prophets. They are saying to people that they can save them. But how do we know that the Lord Jesus Christ makes the difference? How do we know that only Christ is giving us the religion that saves? This is what we are going to see in this passage. And the answer really, Christ came into this world to heal us from the leprosy of sin. That's how you have to look at it. But he came also to rescue us from God's righteous judgment. One day, you and me shall stand before the living God. What will you bring on the table? What will you have? Good works? They are not able to do anything before the living God without salvation. So, in a simple gospel sermon, I want to speak about five things related to this Samaritan leper who was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want really to focus on him. There are many angles by which we can look at this great miracle, the healing of the 10 lepers, but I'm focusing tonight on the Samaritan one. And five things just to bear in mind. The first thing, I want us to look at his condition. What was the condition and the position of this man, like the other 9 lepers? The second is to look at his petition. It's very important. What was his prayer? What did he ask for? And the third thing, we see his repentance, or if you prefer, his confession. He's giving a confession here, which we should appreciate. The fourth thing is to look at his reaction. And finally, the 15th, oh, my dear friends, that is here in verse 19, where Christ said to him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made you whole. And the fifth one is really the blessing of faith. What are the blessings we receive when we trust on the Lord Jesus Christ? So let me deal with them one by one. And the first one is here in verse 11. We can really scroll through the verses here. The first heading is his condition and his position. Verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered, verse 12, into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And when you read verse 16, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And in verse 18, Christ said, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. So there are three things really that are said about him in these verses. The first one, he was a leper. The second, he was a Samaritan. The third one, he was a stranger. I could add a fourth one, he was a sinner also. So all this, a quadruple disqualification for this man. He was a sinner, he was a leper, he was a Samaritan, and he was a stranger. Unlikely to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Unlikely for any prophet, any man really to pick him or select him to qualify him for salvation. But this is the miracle again of salvation, because the unlikely ones, the unworthy ones, those whom nobody will ever choose or pick or select, these are the ones who the Lord Jesus Christ is showing great mercy. My dear friends, you know how the lepers were called in old times? The walking dead. That's how they were called, which means their life was miserable, it was horrible, and it was dreadful to be a leper. And as you know, they had nothing to offer. They were in great need. They couldn't contribute anything. But we must stop there and think, what is the relation of thus with us? And the first thing, in order to be saved, I must realize my need. My greatest need, my innermost need, my spiritual need, that I'm not just body, I'm body and soul. I'm not just material. There is in me that immaterial part which will answer before the living God. My dear friends, what do you need to do in order to be saved? I must see my need. All you need to be saved is need. That's the relationship between you and the Lord. You are in need, then you can go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the greatest need I have is the sin of forgiveness of my sins. And that makes me to say, I have nothing to contribute. I have nothing to offer. I only have my sins to bring before the Lord. Oh, my dear friends, the second thing we see here, not just his condition, but we see also his position. And in verse 12 there, it says, they stood afar off. That's us also. No fellowship with God, no relationship with God, no encounter with God. We are million miles alienated, super distance from the living God. And in New Testament times, but also in Old Testament times, when somebody is a leper, they had to holler, to cry out, and even they have to ring a bell. When they see somebody approaching them, they were actually unapproachable. But when somebody is approaching them, they have to holler and shout out, unclean, unclean, leper. Leper, do not approach, do not approach. Oh, my dear friends, that is our condition and position before the living God. Unclean, unclean. I cannot approach the living God because he is holy. That's my identity. That is my condition. But that's also my position before the living God. Leprosy was considered to be a curse. It was not even a sickness, the way people look at it in New Testament time. It was a curse. It was shameful. And it disfigured the person. And lepers were socially and spiritually unclean. They suffered isolation. They suffered loneliness. They suffered a cut off any family bonds or ties. Oh, it was a lonely position to be. But this is us also. Without salvation, without the forgiveness of our sins, we are lonely. Yes, we may be surrounded by a crowd of people. We may have erudition. We may have academics. We may have education. We may have a family. We may have riches. We may have everything. But really, without that innermost need of my soul, I'm just a lonely person so far away from God. My friends, we are all under the same disease of sin and death. That's really what leprosy does to us. Leprosy, like sin, is damaging. It is deadly. Lepers and beggars, this is what we are before God. Leprosy, like sin, was incurable. You know, with sin you cannot go and see your doctor. It won't do you anything. No prescription, no human prescription will do any good to your soul. That's why Christ is really the only one who could have access to your soul. He is the physician of our souls. He came to seek and to find that which was lost. That's why his hand is stretched forth in order to welcome every sinner who comes to him and trusts in him. But leprosy, like sin, as I said, was incurable except by an act of the living God. Christ is the one who came, and only him gives the cure against my sin, the leprosy of sin. But he provides also the remedy. You know how? By his precious blood. That's the antidote against sin. His precious blood that was shed at the cross of Calvary. So that's the first thing we know about the Samaritan leper tonight. His condition and his position. He was a stranger. He was a Samaritan. He was a sinner, but he was also a leper. Where did he stand? He stood afar off. No fellowship with God. No fellowship with the society, because he was socially and spiritually unclean. The second thing, we see it in verse 13 and 14. And here we see his petition. In verse 13, with the other nine, he cried out. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Oh, like the other nine, the Samaritan cried for mercy instead of saying, Jesus, Master, heal us. or heal me. This is what most people, they are seeking God for. Oh, Jesus, I want you only if you give me success, if you give me to pass my exam, if you give me riches, if you give me this and that, then I will believe in you. But you see, it's not even healing he was after with the others. That's not what they prayed for and they cried out for. And Christ said unto them, look at Christ's compassion here. Christ said unto them in verse 13, go show yourselves unto the priests. It was a command. That was a command. You must go and show yourself. There was nothing else to do. You see, in doing so, or in so saying, Christ was honoring the law of the Old Testament. We don't have time to turn to the book of Leviticus, but a lot in that book is dealing really with body pollution and contamination and leprosy and all kind of sins, rottenness within the heart and the body of each one of us without reconciliation with God. So Christ was honoring the law, but he was also testing their faith. The priest actually couldn't do anything. They may go to him, but he could only confirm that they could go back to the society and to their families. That's the only thing he could do. And it shows to us that religion, man-made religion, cannot save. It's just impossible. He may go, oh yes, the priest may confirm that they were healed, but he couldn't save their souls. But Christ said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. This was not what they asked for. Is this what they asked for? No, they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. But Christ sent them, and they went. Look at the text again in verse 14. And it came to pass that as they went, not before, nothing happened before they went. Meaning what? We must draw a lesson here. Are you seeking after the Lord? Oh, obedience in believing is the key. As they went. The Lord Jesus Christ said, go, and they went. And the miracle happened. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you and me, come. And he's the master. He's the Lord. And I need only to obey to him. That's the attitude you and me need tonight. Do you want to be saved? The first thing here, Christ is calling you to full obedience. But look at the turning point now in verse 15. In verse 15, this is amazing. And one of them. Verse 13, my dear friends, this is the climax. If I may get your attention just for a second, this is the climax. That one who was healed, with all of them were healed, but something amazing happened to him. And in verse 15, we read, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. That is his repentance. That is his faith. That is his confession. My dear friends, we can write a book. Even if you give us a short time, we can really write to you a book about repentance. But you see, the genius of the Word of God, the genius of the Lord Jesus Christ, the genius of the God of the Bible, I believe this is the greatest, the deepest, but the simplest also explanation and definition of repentance. What does repentance mean? He turned back. He turned back. That's really the word repentance there. To be saved, to find the Lord, we need to turn back. To turn back from the curse of our sins. To turn back from the pending judgment and turn to the Lord. What does repentance mean? His mind, his heart, his will. But also his direction. Instead of going to the religion, instead of going to the world, this man turned back and he said, I will turn away from my sins. I will turn away from my previous life. I will turn away from my past. But now I turn to the living God. That's what he did here. You see, all of them have benefited from the same healing. But this man now, they did not turn back, but he did it. Will you do the same tonight? Will you turn back to this world? Will you turn back from your sins and to turn in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? So if I have lost you so far, we saw his condition and position. The second thing, we saw his petition. He said, have mercy on me, Lord. And thirdly, we saw his repentance. But look at now his reaction. There is a wonderful reaction given to us in verse 16. Oh, my dear friends, this is great. And fell down on his face at his feet. He fell down on his face at his feet. How would you qualify this? This is the language of humility. This is the posture of worship. So he was worshiping Christ. He was also believing that the Lord Jesus Christ is really God. His gratitude was as loud as his need for mercy. If I could detain you just here for a little while, because there is so much happening in verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. My dear friends, the Samaritan called the Lord Master, but he really considers him as Lord God. Why? Why is that? Here are some reasons. If Christ was not God, this man would not fall on his face at his feet. Never. It was forbidden. And remember, the Samaritans, though they were not Jews, they were half Jews. They believed in the Pentateuch. And they know from the word of God that you shall worship only God. So if Christ was not God, people sometimes they say, where in the Bible the Lord Jesus Christ said he is God? Here is one. If Christ was not God, this man would not worship him. But on the other hand, if Christ was not God, he wouldn't also receive the worship of this man. But he received his worship. And the leper realized that the priest would not save him. The priest could not save him. The priest would not even receive him. Why? Because he was a Samaritan. And we read from John chapter 4 that the Samaritans and the Jews did not have relationship. They wouldn't do business together. They wouldn't even interact. So why go to the priest? There is no need to go to him. But suddenly, while he found that he was healed, this is his faith in action. And in his reaction, you can see that he believed that Christ is not just a healer, but Christ is the Savior. That's the conclusion you must come to. He gave glory to God, and that was Christ's appreciation. Look at it in verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And with a loud voice glorified God. Whom did he glorify? It was Christ he glorified, my dear friends. It was Christ he was worshiping. It was Christ before whom he bowed down. It was Christ before whom he made that confession. So Christ is indeed God. But look at it. There is something amazing again in verse 15. And giving him thanks, he glorified God. But he is giving him thanks. The hymn stands for whom there? The hymn stands for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friends, I wish I have more time to tell you more. But you can see this is another passage where Christ explicitly and implicitly, he is saying, I'm God, worship me. He gave thanks to God, he glorified God, and he gave thanks to him, Christ. Who is Christ? God of the very God. A saved sinner, my dear friends, is a grateful saint. Once you are saved, you become a saint. And you cry loud, not just for your sins, but you cry loud to give thanks to the Lord. But look at, there is more we can say in this, in his reaction. And Christ said in verse 17, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Christ is asking not because he doesn't know. Of course he knew. Where are the 9? But may I ask you the same question? Where are you tonight? Who pictures you the best? Who pictures you the most? Are you a descendant of the 9 lost lepers? Or is the Samaritan leper your ancestor? Oh, I want to be on the side of the Samaritan leper who exercised faith, who believed and trust that Jesus Christ is the God of the very God. That's the one I want to be pictured after, not anyone else. Faith is always to take God at His word. It is to take the Lord at His word. The Lord said, go, I go. The Lord says, come, and I come. But you see, they all received the same cure on that day. But the Samaritan had something greater. Look at it, what Christ says to him in verse 19. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made you whole. You see what he received? The 9 others, they were healed, they were cleansed, they were purified from the leper, but they didn't hear the sweet words. Oh, what sweet words you hear tonight if you trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy faith, the faith that Christ gave you, that faith made you whole. That faith saved you. And that's the meaning of that word, whole, made whole. The 9 were cleansed, they were healed, but he was saved. He was purified from his sins, and he was given eternal life. How much the 9 have missed? Will you miss the same tonight? Just close this webcast, live streaming, and without thinking, where do I stand if God has to judge me tonight? If tomorrow I am called home, what will I bring before the living God? Oh, my dear friends, you know, the good news is that this very Christ, the master who healed the 10 lepers, soon going to Jerusalem, and there he will be crucified. He will pay the price our sins deserve, but he will also shed his blood to heal every repentant sinner from the leprosy of sin. But let me close. Look at the blessing of faith. The blessing of faith, it's there in verse 19. And Christ says to him in verse 19, arise and go thy way. It's like Christ was telling me, arise, go in peace. And this all was Christ's initiative. You see, salvation must be of the Lord. It's not me deciding. It's not you deciding. It's not the preacher manipulating you. No, it is of God. Arise, go thy way, go in peace. You have been set free. Now you are in peace with God. There is union with God. There is reunion with God. There is reconciliation with God. This is what peace with God brings in a person's life. He was not only given saving faith, but he was commended, praised by the Lord that thy faith has made you whole. Go in peace. What shall it profit to you to gain everything? We have named a number of things already. To gain education, beauty, to gain skills, to be athletic, great prowess, erudition, talents, gifts, even visions and dreams. What would that do to you? What profit will it bring to you? What profit will it bring to you to be healed from leprosy, from COVID-19, from disease, from cancer? You can name it, name anything. And yet to be thrown later in the lake of fire, there will be no joy there. There will be no peace, no smile, no music. The word of God in a picture language tells us that it is a place of weeping and teeth gnashing. My dear friends, why would you die in such abysmal ignorance? Why would you die in that ignorance? Why there is water for you not to die of thirst? Why would you be homeless while there is shelter? Oh, we are speaking about salvation, your soul to be saved and have the forgiveness of your sins. This is what Christ is inviting you to. Christ acted for him as his high priest, taking him to God. Arise, go thy way. Oh, let me, as I close, just speak a bit about that word. When Christ says to him, arise, it shows to us, my dear friends, that we did not stand up before. We were dead. We were there, dust of dust. We were like a fallen flat. This is the fall of man. Without Christ, we are the outcasts, ostracized. It's like we are impoverished with the leprosy of sin, million miles away from the living God. But when Christ says to him, arise, it means that no more separation. Now you are the Son of God. You are a child of God. Your sins are forgiven. You are adopted in the family of God. You have newness of life. But when Christ says to him, arise, it means also that the guilt of sin, which depressed me and stressed me, that is removed, blotted away, and cast away in the deep sea, in the deep waters of sea. It won't come back to you anymore. My dear friends, faith is not natural. The natural man cannot express any faith. That's why faith is a spiritual gift. It is given to you freely, and it must be received freely. But when Christ says to him, arise, go thy way, go back to your family, go back to your home, go back to the society, go back to your friends, and now he can go back with newness of life, with a profitable purpose. He can be profitable and useful to his society, to his family. He can go back to work. He can interact. He can go and praise the living God. He can go to the synagogue. He can go to the temple. He can worship God, and all his sins are forgiven. Oh, my dear friends, but he can fellowship with his master, who has power to save him. As I close, cry. May I plead with you. Cry unto Christ tonight. Unclean, unclean, that's what I am. Save me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Faith, like a Samaritan on that day, immediately he was cleansed. He was purified. He was forgiven. And he was made whole, meaning he was saved. And he was on his way to heaven. That's what Christ does to you. Faith in Christ does it all. Come to him. Trust in him. Yield your life unto him. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that it is not in vain to trust in thee. Thou hast done it all. Thou hast purchased unto thyself a ransomed people, and thou wilt not cast away any sinner who comes to thee seeking for thy mercy and seeking for salvation. O Lord, bless thy word, bless it in our souls. We ask that thou wilt be with us throughout this week, and may the glory be only to thee, the God of this universe. We ask these blessings in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's close our time together by hymn number 399. Hymn number 399.